Tonight I want us to look at Peter's path to power. And we're going to look at two passages in chapter 22 of Luke, verses 31 and 32, and verses 60 through 61. In verses 31 through 32, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." You know the account. You know what Peter said he wouldn't do. He would never deny Christ. And then on the third, and then that night, he denied him three times. In verses 60 and 61, the passage is this: "And Peter said, Man, I know what thou sayest. And immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." See, Peter's denials of Christ are insightful on how we deny Christ. We understand ourselves better when we can look at Peter. Peter was one who would say the right thing, but do the opposite. Peter was the one that would show commitment and then not follow through. Peter was the one that would turn his back on God and say he's not doing that. We've all been there. Peter saw God's glory, but Peter had crises of faith. We can identify with his successes, but we can also identify with his failures. You know, there was coming tough times for the disciples. This happened at the time of the Lord's Supper. There was bickering among the disciples on who was going to be greatest, who was going to sit on the right hand and the left hand of God. They were bickering over all the things that Christ has said because they were looking for an earthly restoration of the kingdom instead of a heavenly kingdom. They were looking wrong. And folks, it's easy. It's easy to look the wrong way, to look improperly. Jesus had told them of his coming suffering. In Luke chapter 22, verse 15, a couple verses before this, it says, "And he said unto them, With desire I desire to eat this Passover with you before I what? Suffer." See, when God says something, it's going to come true. Amen. We know all the promises are yea. There's no variableness or turning in him. He does not lie. And so his plan that he has set in motion before any of this was created is going to come true. And so Jesus had told them some bad news. You know, what happens when we get bad news? Do we embrace it and say, we'll get through this with confidence? Or do we turn on each other? Or do we turn on the situation and say, it can't happen? And we go nuts over it. So the disciples had just, they've been told for the last couple of months about this. You know, they made great statements like Thomas when they were going to Bethany to Lazarus. Or, where, let's go to Jerusalem so we can all die. You know, that's kind of like how we act at times, isn't it? So Jesus had told them of his suffering. He had just revealed his betrayal by one of them. And I find it interesting that everyone in the crowd and that table, is it I? Is it I? You know, we're all capable of denying Christ. We're all capable of being Judas. But you know something? Our heart should be so right that we know who we are. We talked about that the other night. We need to know who we are so we can be a witness for Christ. And it says here in verse 21, it says, "Behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table." In our passage, he had told Peter that he would be attacked by Satan. So tonight I want to look at three things about this passage. Three things about Christ and Peter that we can all count on. The first one is, in verse 31, he says, "But I have prayed for thee." The Lord was concerned for Peter when he was tempted. He says, "Satan has desired to have thee. I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not." You know, God knows what you're going to go through before you even go through it. We just need to be prepared for it. But He knows, and He cares for us. You know, when the disciples were in the ship, and the ship was taking on water, and Jesus was asleep, in verse 38 of Mark chapter 4, they come and they cry out, and it says, "He was in a hinder part of the sheep, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish?" You know, oftentimes we look at the Bible and we might say, "That's not for me." Or sometimes we pray to God and we say, "God, help me," and we don't believe it. There are times in our lives where we think that God doesn't hear. There are times in our life we think that God doesn't see. There's times in our life we say that God won't intervene. But He will. He's God. Nothing happens without God's knowledge. The Lord was concerned for Peter when he was going to be tempted. You know, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. I find it interesting that the disciple that had this struggle made some of the most powerful statements about faith in Peter. And he basically, Peter found, figured it out. And he's encouraging other people. And he says, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you." Oh, we need to understand that Satan is out as a, the next verse, as a what? Roaring lion, seeking whom he may desire. See, the Lord is concerned about the trouble you're going through. The Lord knows. And the issue is, Satan is out there who tries to defeat all believers. Ephesians chapter 6, we don't wrestle against what? Flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places. And folks, there's no more stark time of that happening than what we're living in right now. And what we're living in right now. But here's something. Jesus is still praying for His tempted one. You know, God prayed for you. God's prayed for all of us. In the Garden of Gethsemane, yeah, that's right, Jesus prayed for us. In John chapter 17, verse 20, it says, "Neither pray I for these alone," for the disciples that there were there with him. He says, "But for them also which shall believe on me through their word." We have the same promise that Peter has when he was going to go through this temptation. Christ said, "I have prayed for you." God knows you by name. God knows every hair on your head. God knows what you're going through, and He's prayed for us that will keep the faith. He intercedes for us now in heaven. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, it says, "Wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost, that" what? "Come unto God by Him." Who's the Him? It's Christ. There's only one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Amen. It says, "Seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them." Look at that passage. It's God's primary thing to make intercession for us. He did so on the cross. He does so every day. He wants us to cast our cares on Him. He's prayed for us and is continuing to look down on us. You know, when Christ comes back, will He find faith on earth? That's what He wants. He wants us to be faithful to the end. So we see the prayer of Christ for Peter. He was concerned for Peter. because Satan desires to get all of us. Jesus is still praying for his tempted one today. But Peter lost his battle with temptation. How many of us in here tonight have lost our battle with temptation at one time? Yes. We can all raise our hand. We've all been there. We've all been there. But his faith didn't fail. He commissioned him to strengthen the others. And he says, but I prayed for thee that thy faith, what?
Fail not.
And when thou art converted, when all this happens, when all God's plan comes together, strengthen the brother. Strengthen the brother. Jesus had commissioned him to strengthen the others. You know, some months in the future, there's going to be Pentecost. And we know the story. Peter becomes the Lord's spokesperson at Pentecost. Because everybody's going, why are we hearing this message in our own language? Why are this fire on these people's heads? What's all this happening? And Peter comes on and he starts quoting scripture and he says, hey, you need to understand this. In verse 14 of Acts chapter 2, it says, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. Now there's a man that's committed to God, willing to speak out, willing to go to the mission field, willing to do all those things. But he failed. God uses failures. You know, what did Paul say? He says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. He says, Christ came to save sinners, of which I am chief. He says, I'm the least of all the apostles because I did all this. And look at how much Paul was used. So Peter lost his battle with temptation, but his faith didn't fail. Folks, I want to tell you right now, if you're thinking about giving up, don't. God's got this. God's got this. So we see the prayer of Christ for Peter. Then we're going to do a little bit of theology tonight, okay? We know the precise time of the cock's crowing when Peter failed. In verse 60, he says this. He says, I know what thou sayest. And immediately, the rooster crowed. See, a couple verses before, Christ said, I know what's going to happen. He says, and he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou hast thrice denied me that thou knowest me. You know, we're going to have a little bit of chicken philosophy or chicken theology tonight. You know, there's a lot of good things about this rooster. First of all, he rises early and goes about his God-given task. Ricky, you'll never be a rooster. Okay? The issue is that, you know, the priest had to get up in the morning and set the morning sacrifice and set the showbread in order and set everything in order. He had to do that before the sunrise. Psalm 118:24, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. You know, it's interesting that the animals and everything that God created does what God does, but He created man and we don't. Never thought about that? So, some good things about the rooster. He rises early and goes about his God-giving task. He does his work without praise. Now, if you go over there and you try to pet a rooster, you're probably going to get pecked or spurred. Either way, that's not a good thing. But you know, he does his work like God tells him to, at God's timing for this. And you know, he's a little annoying in it too. And he keeps on doing the same message, doesn't he? His message doesn't change. It's crony, okay? But you know, that's unlike us. We always want to be stroked. Matthew 6, 2, it says, "Therefore, when thou doest thy alms, do not sound a trumpet before the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. Don't work for praise. Look at the rooster. He just does what he's told to do. He may be annoying at times, but he doesn't ask for any sort of compensation. He doesn't ask for any sort of recognition. He just does his own thing. Why can't we just do our own thing and live for God?" So, he rises early and goes about his God-given task. He does his work without praise, and he awakens sleepers. We need some in church. We need some in church. You know, you really can't sneak up on a rooster. A rooster will alarm the entire flock of them of danger. And then there's all sorts of commotion going on. You know, for us, we need to be like a rooster. We need to rise up early. Do what God tells us to. Do things without complaining. We need to be a watchman. In Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 7, it says, "So thou, O son of man, I have set thee to be a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at thy mouth and warn them from me." It's time to start crowing about God. It's time to start saying things that we're meant to say. He is a proclaimer of good news. I'm not going to do my best rooster call up here. That would not be a good thing, okay? They would probably take us off YouTube. But the issue is, he's a proclaimer of good news. You know, why? Because in this case, salvation was near. Christ was just done with the trial, and he's now on his way to the cross. God's redemption plan was about to happen. Romans 13, verse 11 says, "And now, and that knowing the time," see, that rooster knew as soon as the third time happened, he crowed. He crowed. We need to understand the time too. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to what? Awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. And you know something? A rooster goes through life and he never gets bored doing the same routine. Now, some people might get bored coming to church. Some people might get bored reading the Bible. Yeah, get stuck in Leviticus. Yeah, you can get stuck in there. Some people might get bored doing a ministry, and the joy goes out of it. The rooster just keeps on doing it because he was programmed to do it. He does it as God tells him to, God's way. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye what? Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding." Folks, we get to work for God. We get to work for God. That ought to be exciting to us. It should never be the mundane. It should never be the routine. "In the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." God used this rooster to bring people to repentance. Last Wednesday night, we talked about John the Baptist. God used John the Baptist the way he created John the Baptist, the way he gave the message to John the Baptist, the way that John the Baptist was out there in the wilderness crying out. He wasn't impacted by anything. He wasn't threatened when tried to be threatened by the religious leaders. He didn't talk about authority. He says, I'm just doing what God told me to do. He was looking for Christ. He knew what he was looking for. See, as soon as the rooster crowed, what happened? Peter remembered. See, this rooster and his crowing reminded Peter of his promises, of his promise to Jesus. You know what his promise was? That all people will leave you, I won't deny you. And how many times we said this and we've broken our promise? And everything came true right on the timing that God programmed that rooster for. But it reminded Peter of his promise to Jesus. But it also reminded Peter of the Lord's promise to him. Oh, folks, sometimes we just live on God's promises and we don't make anything in return. We don't do anything in return. We just suck up the grace and don't give out grace. The Bible says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are they which who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Those are all promises that God makes. So God used this rooster to bring Peter to repentance. And that rooster was crowing at the precise time that God said it would. We know in verse 61 that the Lord turned and looked at Peter. See, God's looking at us tonight. He knows where we are. He knows what we're going through. He even knows our heart. Because he says over and over again, he says, and he knew their hearts. He knew their thoughts. And he looked at Peter. And I think that that's probably the most powerful look that Peter's ever experienced. We need to understand something here. What was going on at this time? They were mocking Christ at the high priest's house in the mock trial. There was false witnesses. There was all this commotion going on. And Jesus knew what Peter was saying outside. How can we live our lives thinking that God doesn't hear? Or God doesn't know what's going on? With all that was happening to Jesus, he still cared for Peter. Now, we can only speculate about that look. You know, I know when I do something wrong and my wife sees it, she'll give me a look, and I know exactly what that look means. She knows exactly what my look looks like. My students understand exactly what looks are too. You know, was it a look of rebuke? I don't think so. Was it a look of pity? I don't think so. Was it a look of grief? Why couldn't you just stand with me? He'd already been through that in the garden, where he's going up, prayed, and first time comes back, they're all asleep. Second time comes back, they're all asleep. Third time, they're all asleep. Says, so go ahead and just sleep. It's done. It's done. But, you know, I believe that it was a love for Peter.
Amen.
through all this, but God commended his love towards us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Why would it be any different? Why would it be any different? God had called them. He had singled him out and called him to follow him. And just like we with our children, you know, when they do bad, we have to correct them. But the correction should be done in love. This correction here was done in love. I think it hurt Christ. It hurt Christ. The song this morning, you know, about the nails. Does he still feel the nails from our sin? You know, I think God at that point in time, he knew what he was going to go through. He also knew what Peter was going to go through. He also knew what was going to happen over the next day, weeks, months, years, in Jerusalem and everywhere else. He knew what was going to happen. We can only speculate about that look, but whatever the case may be, it broke Peter's heart. Yes. And folks, I think it's high time that we let God break our hearts. Yes. If we want true revival, we need God to soften our hearts and to make us malleable and help us to understand how much he really loves us and how little we love in return. How much he's committed in caring for us and how little we give back in return. See, the word of the Lord is looking at us tonight. The Holy Spirit is looking at us tonight. God's looking down from heaven at us tonight. What does he see? We have prayer requests for struggles of faith. We know people are out there lost and dying and going to hell. Does he see compassion? Does he see his heart in us? Does he see his word in us? Well, if I was Peter, I would never done that. Yeah, we would have. Peter's just like us. Peter's just like us. It sent him out weeping. But you know something? Those who sow in tears will reap in joy. So tonight, here's the first point as I close. Peter was down, but he wasn't out. God knew what was going to happen to him. He knew what was going to happen that night, but he also knew what was going to happen in the future. And he says this, he says, when you're converted, it was a sure thing. It was a sure thing. See, all God's promises are sure things. Amen. And even though we fail, and we fail, and we fall, and we fall, and we fall, a righteous man falls down seven times and gets up. We know that God is still faithful. Amen. You're never out when you have the grace of God available to you. Amen. You're never out when you have God's mercy available to you. You're never out when you have God's truth there. You're never out when you have God's promises. And he said, he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He wants to do the same for us. Are we in denial for Christ tonight? Are we made vague statements about what we were going to do and then not followed through? Let's fix that tonight. Do you know him as your Savior? Do you know if you died right now, you go to heaven? If you don't know for sure, this is an opportunity for you to come forward when we start singing. And we'll show you from God's Word how you get saved. But for us, how does our word stack up with our commitment to God? How is things going in our life? Are we kind of down right now? We're not out. Let's come back and bask in the light of His grace. Amen. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this day. Lord, we thank You for this opportunity, Lord, just to make a commitment to You. Lord, I pray that You be with us time of invitation. And Father, just search our hearts. Cleanse us, Lord, as David asked. Purge us with hyssop. See if there's any wicked way in us. And Lord, help us to leave this place cleansed. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.